Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, August the 5th, 2013. Hope you're having a good day as we get a new week going. The Buckmaster Show, we are live weekdays, noon to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast to make it real easy for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere. You can check it out on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, our friends at thetucsoncitizen.com have the show posted, as does thetucsonsentinel.com. Each Monday afternoon, we begin with our Monday political face-off. Commentators today, Bruce Ash was supposed to be with us, but Bruce got stuck in Maine. I can think of worse places, John Munger, to be stuck. And John, thank you very much for coming in on short notice. We appreciate it. And Paul Ackerstrom is with us, and this is Paul's normal rotation. Good to see you again, yep. Paul.
See you. Nice to be here again.
Also, coming up 30 minutes past the hour, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, John Wickham. General Wickham's going to have some things to say about really the unprecedented closing of embassies and consulates in the Middle East and in North Africa. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can post a question or a comment to our Facebook page, which is simply Bill Buckmaster. Paul Ackerstrom is with us. Paul is the former vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and John Munger also was a former chair of not only the county Republican Party, but also the state party. John is a former Republican candidate for governor in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and John, did you have a good weekend, both of you?
Terrific weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Good weekend.
We'll be speaking, as I mentioned, John Munger with the general, get some of his views on the embassy closing. This is really unprecedented.
It is unprecedented. I'm going to be very interested to listen to what General Wickham has to say. He's always interesting. I wrote some of my friends an email this weekend and tongue-in-cheek said, sure, I'm glad that we have Al-Qaeda on the run. The fact of the matter is they've effectively closed down our embassies for a week across the Middle East. Our foreign policy is a disaster. They hate us more in the Middle East than they've ever hated us. And they are winning in the Middle East. And our foreign policy of leading from behind and attempting keep hands off is not working. I'm not suggesting that we intervene at all times, but we need to have a policy of leadership and strength. I am astounded that 11 months after Benghazi, despite the president's promises to bring to justice the people who were involved, we have brought no one to justice. And that just emboldens the Al-Qaeda and other terror networks. We're losing this battle.
Is it prudent, Paul Ackerstrom, to do what the president is doing with the closures?
Yeah, I guess it would be prudent. I don't know the specific information and intelligence they have. But, John's spin on it is that we're losing and that, somehow intervention, I guess, would be the other option. I think intervention is what got us into this mess in the first place. The fact that more and more populations seem to hate us in the Middle East is a direct result of what we did in Iraq, which I think was a bad, bad move, and that was under George Bush. And understand this. Ultimately, we have been embroiled in the Middle East trying to broker a peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And until that actually happens, I think we are going to be viewed suspiciously by a lot of folks in the Middle East as being an interventionist one way or the other. And it comes with the territory. And one thing I will say is if you want real, and I'm not sure this is even a good policy, what President Obama's been doing, the continuing of the strikes by drones on al-Qaeda targets. We've taken out a lot of the al-Qaeda leadership that way. Some people think it's a good thing. Some people think it's a bad thing because we also have collateral damage where innocent people are killed as well. Engenders even more hatred. So, you know, if you think we're losing, John, we've been taking out the leadership using those drone programs. I don't necessarily agree that that's necessarily a good thing. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not. But it also engenders hate towards us, especially when we take out women and children with them.
Well, here's the way I see it. Nobody is suggesting, I'm certainly not suggesting, that we intervene anywhere militarily in the Mideast. I think we need to undertake these attempts to resolve the issues, but peacefully. But I do think that when our embassy is taken down in Benghazi or any other place, we need to respond and respond in force. The type of thing that Ronald Reagan did very successfully in Libya, when he went flew some planes down to Libya one day and let them have it for a day, and then all of a sudden, then dictator Muammar Gaddafi turned around, gave up his ambitions to get nuclear weapons, said, "I want peace," and we never had any problems with Mr. Gaddafi thereafter. But what we've got now is they take down our embassy, burn it, kill our ambassador, and we do nothing, absolutely nothing. And what happens, Paul, is number one, we look weak. And then what happens, in my view, is the only way the Middle East problem is going to be solved is have the moderates in the Middle East rise to the top and defeat the radicals in their realm. But we need to be there to support them intellectually. We need to give them support and let them know we are strong. They can count on us for support. Now they're totally intimidated. They don't have any supporters anywhere in the world, and they are intimidated. And they are going to quietly go away while the radicals take over because we aren't giving them that kind of support.
Well, let me say one thing. When large swaths of the populations in the Middle East hate the United States, us giving support to anybody is not necessarily a good thing for that group politically. I mean, it just isn't. And the second thing I would say is responding to Gaddafi in a country is one thing. Responding to al-Qaeda and terrorists, the best we can do is the drone programs, which we've been doing.
No, we can do a lot better now.
We took out bin Laden himself, but it shows the difficulty dealing with a terrorist group like al-Qaeda is that it's not like there's a capital to attack.
We could have.
It's different.
We know who did this, and we could have sent in some special ops teams and taken those guys out and said, you don't be doing this to United States personnel and U.S. embassies and ambassadors. And we would have solved the problem. We could have solved it virtually overnight. But the president didn't want to do that. Instead of calling in the special ops teams to solve the problem, he called in the FBI, who couldn't even get permission of the government to get into the embassy for 3 weeks. So there's a serious problem with the way we're operating. We look weak, and because we're looking weak, the people who rely on our support, intellectual support I'm talking about, don't get it. It happened in Russia when Ronald Reagan supported the Jews and the other people, the other dissidents in Russia, and constantly spoke about how they were being intimidated by the communist government. Those people have written myriads of documents about how they relied on that. They took strength from that kind of intellectual support. And we are not giving that kind of support to the people in the Middle East. And as a result, they're being completely intimidated and shut down.
I disagree. I think it's a much more complex problem. I'd be very interested to hear what the general has to say.
We're going to move on to another topic. We've got the budget battle looming. And I think before we even introduce that, Rose, maybe this would be a good time to take the break here because we are going to change topics on the Monday Political Face-Off today with John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. We will be right back.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake!
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Bottom line, they can take care of anything to do with your framing, and Moe will come out and personally measure whatever you need for your particular wall or space. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul Eckerstrom is with me, and John Munger, and Congress so far has failed to pass any of the annual appropriations bills needed to fund government agencies, and because of that, when the lawmakers do return after the summer recess in September, John and Paul, they will have just 9 working days to devise a stopgap plan or risk a government shutdown October 1st when the current money bills expire. And Republican Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Mike Lee of Utah, and Marco Rubio of Florida, John Munger, recently urged Republicans to swear off voting for any year-end spending bill that includes money for health care.
Yeah, I want to make 2 points on this. So many people have construed this as some kind of major philosophical debate within the Republican Party. It isn't a philosophical debate. Everybody wants to, on our side, wants to cut off the funding for Obamacare. It's a tactical difference on what's the best way to do that. One group tactically wants to just stand up now and say, we're going to pass a bill with no money for Obamacare in it, fund all the rest of government. The other group wants to say, well, we'll fund Obamacare now and we'll fight them later. They're afraid of this government shutdown concept. So, you know, it is not a philosophical difference. It's a dispute over how to win on the issue tactically within the Republican Party. So the pundits who talk about how the Republican Party's having a big battle just don't understand it. What's going to happen is, procedurally, that all the spending bills come out of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And the spending bill that's going to come out of the House is going to be a spending bill to fund everything in government. With a little less spending than President Obama projects for everything, but that's standard stuff, but without Obamacare. And that's then going to go over to the Senate, and the House will have voted to fund government. So it's a question of whether Harry Reid and the senators want to shut down government over that one issue.
But if government does shut down, Paul, that's going to make Republicans look pretty bad.
Yeah, look, Obamacare was passed with Democratic support. It's the law of the land. Until the Republicans take back the Senate and the House and the presidency and repeal it, then it's the law of the land. And to not fund it and threaten to shut down government and hold the rest of government hostage for that one piece of legislation to force a majority of the Senate and to force the president to knuckle under to their demands, I think is just wrong. I mean, we've seen this replay over and over again where the Republicans hold the rest of the government hostage over philosophical reasons of less spending or now in Obamacare to get rid of Obamacare. It you know, government has functions. And if we're going to be on vacation with, I know you and Bill and I are going to be on vacation about that time, yeah, we could get stuck where we are because the airlines are shut down federal government doesn't, it hasn't been funded to run the airports. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I find it very ironic that the Democrat sitting here is talking about how Republicans ought not be acting in such a way to ram something down somebody's throat when Obamacare itself was rammed down the throat of the country with no Republican support. They rammed that down the throat of the country absolutely ideologically on a pure party vote, and now they're upset because the Republicans don't want to fund it. Now, over 50%, something like a 2-to-1 margin, the people of this country do not support Obamacare.
That's not true.
That's
I mean,
what
where
the,
do you get Paul, these numbers,
that's
John?
What, that's I'm, what Paul. I'm that's what the numbers show. Even the government unions, even the IRS unions, who are supposed to enforce Obamacare, don't want Obamacare. So, what's going to happen is if anybody's going to shut down the government, it's going to be the Senate. The Republicans are fully willing to fund the entire government. And we're doing nothing other than what the Democrats did in ramming down Obamacare down our throats.
You're a minority party in the Senate. You don't
and
have
you're
the
a
presidency.
Minority in the House.
And you don't have
and
the
you're a minority
exactly.
in the House.
And you don't have the presidency. This is a law that has already been passed. And until you repeal it, it's the law of the land and should be funded. I'm sorry. You want to shut down the government over it?
No, I don't. You do.
I would.
You do.
I just, John, if the Republicans shut down the government over this, let me tell you, they're moving further and further to the right in extremism, and people are going to get turned off.
Anything you disagree with is extremism, Paul.
Well, you know, if you want to do it politically. It helps the Democrats. I don't see why the Republicans are even considering doing
that.
Every time they've threatened to shut down the government, or when they have shut down the government, they've taken it in the teeth by the public. Well, the public doesn't like this type of tactics. Do compromise. Get things passed through compromise rather than doing this,
Paul,
stuff.
That is the issue of the debate with the tactical debate within the Republican Party, whether or not this is the best way to do it. And there are two sides to that argument. There is the side that says the Republicans will suffer. There's the other side that said, look, the Republican Party, remember when the Republican Party was always called the Me Too Party? We don't want to be the Me Too Party anymore. We want to be the party that stands for something. We want to be the party that says to people, look, this is what's right. And this is what we believe in. If you want to vote for us, fine. If you don't want to vote for us, that's fine too. But we're going to do what's right. And it will not be the Republicans that are shutting down the government. We're willing to fund government. And anybody that thinks we aren't willing to fund government is just smoking
something. But won't the public perceive it, John, the Republic?
That's the question, Bill.
Okay.
That's the question, and that's the tactical decision.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republican Party also, the argument is that we need to stand for something, and we need to fight this because it is such a bad thing for the country. This is not an ideological debate. This is an economic debate. What's good for the country? And a lot of us, myself included, feel that Obamacare is so negative. I mean, look, we had 162,000 jobs created last month, which was not anywhere near enough to break even. Of the 162,000 jobs, 68% of them were part-time jobs.
Well, before we get off the subject, let me put it this way. People will see through this. The Republicans don't like government. They want to shut down government. They don't like government at all. And the plain fact
that's just wrong.
And
you're smoking something.
But the perception will be there. And the plain facts of the matter is, in divided government, which we have right now, compromise is what is supposed to happen. And we haven't had that now for the last 6, 7, 8 years
with divided government.
We're not doing the job of – Washington isn't doing its job because Republicans are so entrenched in their ideological stances that they can't compromise from those positions in divided government to get something done.
You have Harry Reid has been given 28 bills by Congress, by the House of Representatives, to at least debate on.
And how many has he taken?
None. Zero. He won't even have a debate on 28 bills. Don't be telling me about compromise when you won't even let a bill be debated.
Well, the Republicans won't let bills be debated about filibusters. I mean, we can go back and forth on this forever. The plain fact of the matter is it's dysfunctional, and we shouldn't be playing these type of games. Playing the game of compromise in Washington to get things done for the American public.
And if
the Republicans want to shut down government, they're going to be they're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt at the polls.
That may be the truth in terms they may get hurt, but they do not want to shut down government. The question is whether the American public is going to understand that we've offered a bill. And that's a question, will they understand it or not? But I will tell you, in my opinion, the best way to get compromise going is to get Harry Reid out of the Senate majority leadership and get a Senate leader who will at least discuss the bills that the House is sending over. And they won't do it. He won't do it. He refuses. So don't be telling me about how the Republicans refuse to compromise.
Because some of the things they're passing are ridiculous.
Oh, well, that's your opinion. But the majority of the House of Representatives who are elected by the people are conservatives. And Harry Reid ought to at least be talking about it.
All right. Paul, quickly.
One last thing.
1 5-second.
When he talks about the majority being in the House, it's because of gerrymandering redistricting that caused that. More people voted for Democrats in the congressional races last election cycle than Republicans, but the Republicans still have a majority because of that.
Between 2010 and 2012, the Democrats lost 600 seats across the country.
John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. They can take care of all of your custom frame mirrors, art for the walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Law and Dodge and at moesgallery.com.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Yankees' Alex Rodriguez, suspended through 2014, that's a 211-game suspension. Dozen other players receiving lesser suspensions today as well, as Major League Baseball disciplines 13 players in a drug case, the most sweeping punishment since the Black Sox scandal nearly a century ago. State Department says it has closed its embassies in four sub-Saharan African nations. This is part of a heightened security alert days before the 15th anniversary of Al-Qaeda's bombings of American diplomatic missions in Kenya and Tanzania. The family of a honeymooning tourist who was killed when a driver plowed through a crowd on the Venice Beach boardwalk says her death was a tremendous injustice. Wall Street, the Dow down 37 points. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:34 on a delightful 82-degree day right here in southern Arizona. Very nice. Almost feels a little fall-like. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, and we're always glad to have him and honored to have him once a month with us on the program, our military and foreign affairs contributor, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley and joins us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Great to be on your wonderful program.
Well, thank you very much. I just wonder, in your long history looking at military affairs, have you ever seen anything like this embassy terror alert, which is now extending to, I guess, about 21 embassies and consulates throughout the Middle East and over a wide area of North Africa?
Oh, it's unusual, Bill, but I think the Benghazi episode, which sort of stung the administration and caused a lot of angst in the government, has made them very prudent about doing something. There's been a clear intelligence that Al-Qaeda people in the Middle East are going to do some major attack, and so it's prudent to do this. What's happened is sort of the metastasis, spreading of the cancer of the Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda basically is a Sunni group, and they're jihadists. They want to destroy things and not create anything at all. It's unfortunate that the petrodollars, we're buying oil and buying gasoline, and we're buying it from Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is using that money, by and large, to aid and support jihadists around the world.
Yeah, it's a very serious situation, and this has been extended. Apparently, the threat, General Wickham, is a lot more specific than many of the threats that come through.
That's true, Bill. But it also, the good news is, Bill, given all of the uproar about surveillance has gone on and going to continue, it shows that we do listen and we do get some evidence that can lead to cutting off these kinds of attacks. So our surveillance makes a lot of sense. And I think we've got to really be very cautious about ratcheting back surveillance.
And some might say we have to be very cautious, I guess, about overreacting as well, General.
That's right. Some people will argue that maybe we need to cut back and stop cutting our defenses, and maybe we need to keep our forces overseas and spend more on the military. I don't agree with that. Maybe sounds strange for a soldier to say that, but I do believe that past decade of war, we have built up a little bit of bloat in our defense structure, and I think we can cut back. Secretary of Defense Hagel doing a great job, in my humble opinion. Incidentally, he's been almost constantly on the phone with the leadership in Egypt, cautioning them, advising them. But Hagel understands the need to make prudent reductions in our defense. Unfortunately, the sequestration thing that Congress mandated, stupid arrangement, really. It's an arbitrary way of cutting the budget. Every account in the budget takes a flat percentage cut, whether it's a good account or a bad account, and it doesn't make any sense what we're doing. And so we are going to do some harm, but I do think, and Hagel understands that there are cuts that can be made.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for General Wickham, he would be delighted to entertain such. General Wickham, as you know, many people in our community are now concerned again about the future of the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base facility. They're worried that the BRAC, which is looking again at bases, I think, in the year 2015, will perhaps take a hard look at DM. And this concern, General, as you know, is coming out of about the F-35 and the Air Force deciding that they would prepare and get Luke Air Force Base ready for the F-35s while Tucson and DM takes a back seat. What are some of your thoughts on this?
Well, the BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closure Committee structure, that basically is, as you point out, not going to occur for a number of years. Davis-Monthan, like any base, has been on and off a list. As we cut back on defense, there are bases in the United States that are no longer needed, and we can realign bases, consolidate, and close. As a matter of fact, Hagel and the government want to cut back, but the Congress says, no, don't cut back, not in my backyard. NIMBY, you know, is at work here, and unfortunately, we're going to avoid too much bike riding. We're going to avoid cutting back. Davis Monthan is a wonderful base, like Luke, and the difficulty with these bases is the encroachment of growth around them, and the noise of the F-35, all these new aircraft, create problems, and the Air Force has had to make a judgment between Davis Monthan and Luke. I think Davis Monthan, they plan to bring some F-35s here, not as many going up to Luke. Luke, I think, is going to become a training base where there'll be a lot more aircraft and a lot more activity. But I do think that the mayor in town here and those supporters of Davis Monthan need to be working hard to keep the Congress informed about how important Davis Monthan is. It's the largest generator of income, federal income, in the state. And so we need to protect it.
And the the A-10, as you know, General, is, I guess you could say, being phased out. And so, of course, DM is an A-10 base. But you think that prudent lobbying efforts are very much needed, but your concern is not great right now that DM's in any trouble.
No, I don't think there's any trouble right now, but we got to be constantly on alert. We got some very effective friends of Davis Monthan that do work hard in trying to keep the base open. It's an important, as I point out, an important economic entity in the state. And if we don't work hard at it, we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot.
All right. General John Wickham with us. We're going to take a break right here. General Wickham will be with us for another segment. If you would like to add in anything to the conversation or a question, 790-2040 for General John Wickham. We will be right back after we hear from the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestinLaPalomaResort.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It seems like there's always something going on, some fun events over there. Upcoming Pick-A-Mania Festival is a bluegrass folk roots Americana festival offering a free weekend's worth of music in Silver City, and that's coming up September 13th through the 15th. Silver City is only 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. Many fine places to stay, including Axel Canyon Preserve, Bear Paw Ranch, and Buckhorn RV Park. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County at their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. It's 12:47 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and once a month we are privileged to have General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, sharing comments with us. General Wickham, as you know, since we last talked, there has been a lot of talk in this country about race relations after the Trayvon Martin case and the verdict there in Florida. What was your experience in your 40-some years in the military concerning African-Americans?
Bill, the racial situation continues to be in need of improvement in America. It's going to take generations to fix it. Thank God that we had opportunities for people like Colin Powell and to demonstrate the leadership and potential for America. But you read Colin's wonderful book, My American Journey, and you see the difficulty in his life. I played a role in getting Colin Powell ahead, and I've seen a lot of resistance to upward mobility for blacks.
And Colin Powell, actually, in his autobiography, cites you, I believe, twice in the book, General Wickham, as being a role model and congratulating you and thanking you for really helping him in his career.
Yes, he refers to me as a mentor. That's true. Well, we got a long way to go, and I think the president's remarks about race relations were right on target, and I think reflecting courage on his part.
As Army Chief of Staff, what did you do to try to improve the relations?
One thing I discovered as Chief of Staff was we were selecting every several months selecting officers to be command of battalions and brigades. And we were not selecting blacks according to their density in the Army. Only a few percentage points we were selecting. And the boards were violating the guidance. And what that meant was that we were sort of prejudicing the future of these black officers. If they never got selected to command, they would never rise in responsibility. They would never make a full colonel. They never make general. And so what I did, I wrote on the instructions to the selection boards in my personal handwriting, "You will select in accordance with the density of the minorities in the Army, or explain to me why you couldn't." The effect was electric, and it turned around. And as a result, we've been selecting blacks in accordance with the density, and it's good for America. But we need to do more of this in so many other ways. And my wife, Ann, and I had bought a home outside Fort Campbell, thinking when we would retire there when I finished command of the 101st Airborne Division. But when we went back to look at the community and decide, we discovered that the country club there, they didn't let blacks in. So we decided, good grief, we can't live in this redneck community. We're going to sell. And we did. We never went back there to live.
General John Wickham with us. Let's go to Richard now on the Buckmaster Show. Richard, you're with General Wickham. Go ahead, sir.
You bet. General, I wanted to ask you, in these tough financial times we're in, with this gigantuous military budget we've had over the years, it's just huge. There's been a report about the generals in our country living very extravagantly, living in mansions with servants, with waiters, with gardeners, and their own personal security staffs. Has this gotten out of control, General?
Thanks, Richard. Good criticism, and not true. When I was chief of staff of the Army, I did live in a special set of quarters that were made available over the years for every chief of staff, because there's so much entertainment of foreign dignitaries that you have to have this kind of a facility. And we did have three or four enlisted personnel that helped with cooking and cleaning, because it was a big facility. But the gardening on the post was done for everybody, so that was not necessarily for me. No, I don't think we overdo it. I think we ask a lot for these people that are in senior positions. They're vulnerable. When I was a general in Korea and then as chief of staff, I had threat letters, and I had to frequently, and my vehicle was always had to be protected and driven in different locations and different routes, in it, even to the Pentagon, because of potential attack. So there's risks that go with being a senior officer. But I think we can do better, no doubt about it. And there's been some excessive use of facilities around the world.
All right, General Wickham, also another issue that's going to be confronting and is confronting the military is the sexual abuse of women.
It's terrible, Bill, and it isn't going to get better soon. And it's part of the culture of being a warrior, and it goes back for centuries. There's an old phrase in the military, in the Army in particular, if you're going to be a good warrior, you've got to be a two-fisted drinker, you've got to be profane, and you've got to be an abuser of women. I don't believe that at all. And I tried during my tenure as Army Chief of Staff to get rid of that myth. And I think I made some progress. But unfortunately, Bill, it's come back. And it's come back in spades. And it's partly the result of these wars that we've had for the past 10 years. It's going to take a culture change, and it's going to take much more sensitivity in the training of people to give women a better chance. I just went up and commissioned my granddaughter as a second lieutenant in the Army. And the thought occurred to me, and I was pinning that rank on her. My golly, she's going to go into the Army, and I hope that the Army is going to change its outlook and give an opportunity to women.
Well, I saw that picture, and you should be very proud. Thank you for sharing that with me, the picture at that ceremony. And just to share with our listeners, how many WICOMs now have been involved at West Point? I think this is really worth noting. Can you kind of give us the quick overview there, General?
Well, I guess I'm the only one. My granddaughter is an ROTC graduate, and she's going to go into the Medical Service Corps, probably as a trained as a physician's assistant, if not a doctor. Her brother is a West Pointer, and he finished medical school and is practicing medicine in Hawaii. And one of my sons went to West Point, but resigned because of depression, but he's doing all right. So there have not been many.
Well, we thank you all for the service to this country. Anything with the VA and the disabilities? We've been trying to keep an eye on that backlog. Any progress being made?
I think there is progress being made. The good news about the Veterans Administration is that the sequester of funding has not and will not hit the VA. The VA is outside the limit, and the Obama administration, to its credit, has put more money into the VA than any recent president of the United States. So the VA, and it's being run, I think, very well by Eric Shinseki, former chief of staff of the Army, a good friend. They're doing very well. And the VA here, hospital in Tucson, is one of the best in the United States. Do more surgeries there than any hospital in Tucson, as a matter of fact. And nurses stay at the VA hospital in Tucson longer than anybody in any hospital in Tucson because they like the work and they like what they're doing. So we've got a good deal going here for veterans.
General, I want to do a big shout-out and a congratulations to a mutual friend. And Steve Herman is the Voice of America correspondent over in South Korea. And Steve looks to me as a mentor, I am proud to say, from earlier days in this industry. And he was up in North Korea, one of the few reporters, General Wickham, to spend about a week in the North.
Yes, I read that, and you did too, the footage that he wrote, excellent reporting. He's done a wonderful job. He was up there, among other things, with a U.S. Retired officer seeking the remains of a pilot, and they couldn't get to the site because of the weather, flooding, but the North Koreans said, we'll help, and they're going to work at it. But one of the conclusions, of course, coming back from what he did see up there, is that North Korea is a basket case economically, and it's a tragedy, a gross tragedy for the globe to have that country being run by the military and taking away from the livelihood of the people. If we're not going to see much progress on the nuclear issue. They're going to keep those weapons as a guarantor of future success.
General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. This country owes you a debt of gratitude. Our hats off to you. And I hope you were able, in this kind of coolish weather, did you get your bike ride in today?
Oh, yeah. Every day, Bill. As long as the good Lord lets me do it, it's my way of staying fit.
Well, you're doing a great job. Keep at it, General. We'll look forward to your visit in early September. Thank you, sir.
God bless. Bye.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's always our pleasure and honor to have him on the program, and he always has such interesting insights about our military and foreign affairs. The Buckmaster Show thanks Culligan Water, bottled water on our program supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Culligan Water, they provide a nice cool bottle of Culligan to all of our in-studio guests, and we thank them very much for that. Coming out this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. John from 3 to 5 here on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson. We have a full agenda for you tomorrow. The new Director of the Cancer Center at the U of A, Shelley Fishman, of course, with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, our Medication Alert segment with Dr. Ray Woosley, and then Art Scene brought to you by the Tucson Fox Theater. That's all on tomorrow's show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.